Amen. So are you ready to hear more about fishing today? So grab your Bibles and go ahead and open up to Luke 5. Anyone excited about the barbecue picnic today? Woohoo! I know I am. And I splurged and got us the Angus burgers. Yes, no greasy guys today. I know, Randy, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Okay. So we are continuing on with fishing and financial blessings. And we talked about that fishing, the fish, F-I-S-H, stands for faith in something happening. Again, that's faith in something happening. And the ing part is the act or the process of. So the act or the process of faith in something happening. And I love this picture. This was not a planned picture. They just ended up on the end of the dock like this. It was so cool. And I caught this moment. They're all fishing. I loved it. I was like, that's perfect for Sunday. And when you go fishing and you come back and you're telling your report, what is almost the very first question that someone asks you? Well, not how big. Where'd you go? They always want to know, where did you go? Even the people that we saw at different places, and we tell them we've been fishing, they're, oh, where'd you go? Where were you at? So we're telling them, oh, we were on the Snake River, and oh, and then the questions that follow, you know, what'd you catch, how big were it, how much, all those. And we'll answer some more of those questions coming up in the next couple weeks. But the first part is, where'd you go? And if you look in your Bibles in Luke 5, we're going to be in this passage of Scripture for a couple weeks. And it starts with, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, this is a cool lake because it has two names. The lake of Gennesaret, and it also is the Sea of Galilee. So it's a double-named body of water. And saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, the first question is, where are we at? Does it say that Jesus was in the desert? Does it say that Jesus was at the mountain? Does it say that Jesus was in the North Pole? No, it says Jesus was at Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. And so as fishermen know, you don't generally go to your fishing pool, you don't generally go to your swimming pool behind your house to go fishing, right? Why is that? Because there's no fish there, right? And you don't generally go to the desert, unless there's a good lake, but you don't just generally go out to the middle of a desert with your fishing pole and cast it out into the sand. Neither do you go to the mountain with your fishing pole and cast it out into the snow. Those would all be things that would be silly, right? So it's really important where you go. And that is the same that is true with your finances and faith in where you go to church. It's important where you go. And so you see here that Jesus is standing by the lake of Gennesaret. So he's by the lake. Now this had to have been a good lake or a good sea to be at because who was there? Fishermen, right? And fishermen don't generally make their living going to a lake or to a sea where there's no fish, right? They know exactly where to go. In fact, those the big boats that go out into the ocean to catch sea, man, they know where to go to get the fish, right? They have calculated, they have asked other people, they know exactly where to go to get the fish because they're fishermen, they're experienced. They know what time of year, they know all the different specialties to that body of water. They know where to go. And these fishermen knew where to go, but what does it say? They had fished all night and what? Caught no fishes, just like the song. They fished all night, but they got no fishes. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes. Fished all night, but they caught no fishes out on the deep blue sea. How many of you remember that from when you were being a little kid? Yes, there we go. Just a couple. It's okay. I'll teach it to you later. No. But they had been out all night and they had been fishing all night and they hadn't caught any fish. These were not your average fishermen. They were not just the inexperienced guys that took their fishing poles out for the first time in like, you know, 3 years to go fishing. These guys knew their stuff. They were at the right place, right? They were at the lake or the sea, but they needed one more thing. They needed the voice of the Lord in their lives. And what does he say to Peter? Peter, take your boat out one more time. What's he telling him? Lord, I toiled all night and didn't catch anything. That's okay. You give your offering one more time. You give your tithes one more time and watch what will happen. We need to be at the right place and we need to be listening to the voice of the Lord to know when and where to give. Amen? Because it does make a difference. This dock that you see behind me, there are certain times of the night where it's really good to be in the straight part. It's shallower water, and you put your pole in, and you're pulling them out. If you're Lacey and Lane, you pull out a lot more than the rest of us. But there's some spots to be. And those two got to learn this dock, and they knew exactly where to go when they'd go out there. The rest of us, it really was faith in something happening when we put our poles over, right? But there are certain places at certain times where you could catch more fish. And when it got darker and later at night, we'd go to the end, kind of like they are now, and you'd fish off that part. For whatever reason, that's where the fish were. So if you know where the fish are at, if you know where you're supposed to be giving and what you're supposed to be doing, then it's not as much of a faith having to play a part, right? Because you know, hey, if I go here at this point and I give, I'm going to collect a harvest. And the cool part is this. You want to go where there's things that are alive. You can go to lakes and streams, and there's no life in them. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. It's dead. There's nothing alive in it, right? There are certain parks and ponds you can go to that all the fishermen know there's no fish there. You want to make sure when you're going someplace to give your tithes and offerings that there's life. How do you know that there's life? Because there's a flow going. There's a flow going. So, where'd you go? When people ask you and you're testifying of your financial blessing and they say, man, where do you go to church? Don't be ashamed to say, I go to Redeemed Church. It's alive. Stuff's happening all the time. We see miracles and signs and wonders. And then we say, well, did you just get a really big blessing? No, but I got a raise in my job that over a year, it's like hundreds of dollars. Because you know what? That's just as big of a fish. If you add up all the little ones all throughout the year, it ends up being that same as the big one, right? So you can't negate the little or the big things. Where'd you go? That's important to know. That's the first step. Where'd you go? You don't want to be going to the desert where it's all dried up. You don't want to be going to the top of a mountain where it's cold as ice. You want to be going to the place that the Lord calls you to and then give in faith. Put your pole out there. Faith in something happening. Amen? Yes. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for fishing. You're so awesome, God. Just in everything in life, you can give us a sermon practically. And I just thank you, Father, for this visual. Where'd you go? I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember to ask you, Lord, where do we need to go to church? We all need to be at the right place where God is calling us to be. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for this place that we can gather. What a blessing it is to come into this building. And Lord, I know that this place is alive. I get to see the financial end of it. I get to see all the fish that come in and all the fish that are able to go out to bless others. It's a steady flow. This is a good place to put your fishing pole in. And Lord, I just ask today that as every person puts their bait or their tithes and offerings into the water today, Lord, I pray for a harvest like they have never seen. And just like Peter, he had faith to do what you asked him to do. And Lord, we know the rest of the story is they pulled in such a harvest they couldn't even put it in one boat. And Lord, that's what we call in today is the financial harvest that you have for each one of us. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, once again for your faithfulness, Lord, to bless our tithes and offerings as we give a 100-fold harvest. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Boy, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this mighty offering. All right, there you go. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for blessing your people's giving. We speak your anointing on it. We speak increase and favor and raises and bonuses and inheritances, God, financial favor in every area, God, of our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Are you hungry? Anybody ready for a barbecue? I texted the wrong person yesterday. There was a gal that had the barbecue. By the way, Randy stepped out, but Western Pest Control, it's their barbecue we're using today. So thank you, Western Pest Control. But one of their employees had it at their house, and I texted her, I thought, and got a reply back. This is not Dina, but a barbecue sure sounds good. So I had to text somebody again. I should have thought faster and said, well, here's where the barbecue is going to be, you know, but hallelujah. Amen. More people just need to start seeing themselves in church. Amen. A lot of people, I've heard, you know, people say things like, if I showed up, the place would burn down. You know, that's just the devil telling them that, right? Jesus loves people. Amen. And church is a place full of the love of God. Well, are any of the kids here today? Because I might need an assistant here in a minute. Is there anybody who wants to assist me in a demonstration? I need a victim, or I mean a volunteer. So I'll let you know in just a minute, okay? Because this is going to be some fun. I get to be a children's pastor this morning. Amen? And we're studying this part of the year on the fruit of the Spirit, and so we're going to do a little demonstration illustrating to you the fruit of the Spirit. Who's ever seen those infomercials on TV where the guy's making the stuff in the blender and it's all about drinking your vitamins and minerals? And well, we're going to talk about being Mr. or Mrs. Smoothie right now, right? And if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, if you get filled with the fruit of the Spirit, then you will be Mr. or Mrs. Smoothie for Jesus, right? The world needs to see and encounter good things from God's people, right? Hey, kids, can you think of anything that would be too gross to put in a blender and drink? What would be something just disgusting you would never want to... Lane has his hand up back there. Egg. Who would put a raw egg in the... Well, I've seen Rocky do that, right? I mean, and he gets out there and pounds on somebody. But who? Ella? Raw meat? That would be kind of gross, yeah. I probably wouldn't want to drink unless it was maybe sushi or something, but... Even then, I'm not much of a sushi guy. Luke? Raw fish? That's sushi, right? That would probably smell pretty lousy, right? How about, I let my dog out this morning, and he had held it all night, and he went out and dropped something in the ground, right? Who thinks you would want to take a blender and make a dog do smoothie out of that? Gross. Somebody say gross, right? Now, this week I had one of my favorite smoothies. My wife is my favorite smoothie, by the way. Hi, I love you. Thank you for doing all this. You're so great. Amen. But I had at Burgerville, I had a Mocha Perk. Has anybody tried that? A Mocha Perk smoothie and a burger. Oh, man, that hit the spot, right? And they did it right, right? And the blender here kind of represents your life, right? This is somebody say, this is you. And right now it's empty, isn't it? And don't you know, Jesus doesn't want you to be empty. He wants you to be full of good stuff, right? But how many know there's a lot of bad stuff out there that we need to keep out of our blender, right? Amen? Now look at what the Bible says. This is, somebody say, this is good stuff right here, right? This is good stuff. Galatians 5, if you have a voice, read it really loud. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So we take all this and we put it in our blender and we shake it up and it makes something delicious, right? But first, before you, and you can correct me if I'm doing anything wrong, honey, but before you make a smoothie, you have to have what? And what we want to do is we want to ice the devil, right? We want to freeze him out of our lives. So we add some ice. Shelly said I had too much ice there.
Not your hands.
Oh, she says not my hands. My hands are clean. All right? But the ice, we'll say the ice represents faith. All right? So how many know before you do anything for God, is that about right? Before you do anything for God, you have to have faith. Somebody say, I have faith. Right? So first, faith. What do we have faith for? Jesus forgave me my sins, right? And we're going to ice the devil. Faith will ice the devil every time. Amen? Okay, now we're adding some fruits to our lives. It looks like we have exactly the same fruits. So first thing we start with is what? Love. Somebody say love, right? So we're going to add some liquid love here. And you tell me when it's too much, honey, okay? Actually, let's have the kids do it. I need a volunteer. Luke's hand went up first. So Luke, can you come and add some love to your life right there? Loving God, loving people. Amen. All right. Okay. There we go. Well done. Well done. Thank you, Luke. Now, so Luke is adding the love of God to his life. Don't you know there's some things that we ought not love and we ought to love God, right? We ought not love sin. We ought to love Jesus, right? And the opposite of love is what? Hate. So we don't want to put the dog do of hate. Or fear, the Bible says, really is the nemesis of love too, right? We don't want to be afraid. God said, fear not. We don't want to be hating people and all this kind of stuff. We want to love God and love people, right? So that's the first ingredient. Now we need another volunteer. Ella, come on up here. And we're gonna drop some joy in there, right? Somebody say, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? So joy will be represented by these delicious bananas. Now we need to show the people. Can you look at the people while you do that? So they can see the bananas going into the pot. All right. Excellent job. Give Ella a great big hand so far. All right. And then the next ingredient, somebody say, I have the joy of the Lord, right? The next ingredient is the peace. Who? I need another volunteer or a victim. Come on up here, come on up here, come up here. Now, we're going to go ahead and Tori is going to demonstrate with these peaches, emptying the peaches into the pot, which represents the peace of God. The Bible says the peace of God passes all understanding and guards our hearts and minds. Give Tori a great big hand clap right there. And the next thing we're going to add is some patience, all right? Patience. Who knows it's important to be patient with people, right? And the things we're believing God for are going to require patience to see in our life. I need another volunteer. Who's another volunteer? Who's another volunteer? Brooklyn, could you come help us dump some berries in this pot? Brooklyn. All right, Brooklyn. Brooklyn is now going to dump some patience, some berries in the pot. You are such a good helper. Dump a lot of them. I like berries. Dump lots of berries. Somebody say, I have the fruit of patience. Give Brooklyn a great big hand clap. Woo! And next we're going to need some kindness, right? Kindness. Who thinks we should be nice to people? Evie's going to come up and show us how to get some kindness in our lives by adding some grapes into the pot. Evie, you're doing such a great job. Give Evie a great big hand for putting some kindness in there. Thank you, Evie. Now, see, it looks good, doesn't it? But don't you know there's more? Somebody say, there's more. Somebody say, don't stop there. Remember those infomercials? But wait, there's more. Right? We're going to now, what's the next one? Goodness. Somebody say, oh my goodness. You know, I heard a pastor teach on the difference between kindness and goodness, and one of the things he said was goodness does what's right, even though it may not seem kind all the time. Somebody say hallelujah, right? We need some goodness in our life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So who is going to come? We need a volunteer. Is there a Mick in the house? Now, Mick, I hope you like cherries, because we're going to add some cherries to the pot. We're adding some goodness. Oh, Mick, you do such a good job. And you are a good picture of goodness. You know that? Give Mick a great big hand. This is going to be so good. Now, what's the next one on the list? Faithfulness. Who thinks God is full of faithfulness? Now, really, who are we talking about here right now? We're talking about God's characteristics, right? But if the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, then this is on the inside of you. Amen? If you've received the Lord. So we need another volunteer. Who's on it? Will, and I appreciate Will and Lane had the audacity to wear Christmas sweaters in the middle of July on a 100-degree day. But that is awesome. But you know what? Will and Lane are good examples of God's faithfulness for sure. So give them a great big hand. Way to go. Or Will, anyways. Blueberries. Okay, now the next thing is what? Gentleness. Somebody say gentleness. All right, Lane's coming on up to do this one. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God is not a mean ogre, right? There's a gentleness. The Holy Spirit is very gentle and kind and loving. He doesn't come in and slap you upside the head with a wet fish, does he, right? He's very gentle and kind and loving. And Lane, because he is pastor's son, felt like he was entitled to a banana, so he took one for himself. All right, now we have one more thing, don't we? Self-control. Look at your neighbor and say, control yourself. All right, we can do it. Somebody say, I can do this because the Spirit of God is inside of me. Has anybody ever had to get control of yourself, right? Yeah. Whose responsibility is it for me to get control of me? It's my responsibility, right? And we're adding strawberries to the mix right there. Thank you, Lindsay. Give Lindsay and Lane a great big hand clap today for doing this. Now, we put this in our heart, right? We got faith in there. And then by the power of God, right, we begin to blend it all together. Which one is that? Shred, beat, grind, blend, liquefy, or frappe? What should we do? Blend. Okay, somebody say blend it all together. And it, oh wait, we have to also, we got to add the power of the Holy Ghost right here. Amen. How many know it's not just enough to put it all in your life? You got to have the power of God to supernaturally blend it together. And then we go ahead and hit the blend button. Ready? Should I take this off? See what happens? Put it on, right? But really, it's going to be flying out of you all the time. That's what's so beautiful about it. You understand? There's more to preach on here, but we got a barbecue to get to. So ready? Somebody say 1, 2, 3, blend it. Blend it. Oh! It's blending, it's blending. How do I turn it off? How do I turn it off? How long do I blend it? Do I keep blending it? Okay, should I switch to frappe? We're going to add a little bit more faith to the mixture, all right? How do we get faith? Somebody say, from the Word of God. From doing what God says to do. Somebody say, 1, 2, 3, blend it. Look at that beautiful mixture of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faith, good self-control. All right, now doesn't that look delicious? Now we just need a volunteer who wants to try it. All right, who wants to try this? I see a lot more hands going up now. I think we might have enough for everyone. All right, and we're going to pray right now. Somebody say, Lord, fill me with the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit. That's where the fruit comes from. In Jesus' name. And then say, Lord, bless all the food to our bodies that we're going to eat today. And bless our time together at the Redeemed Church Barbecue. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen and amen. All right, I think we have enough for the kids. And I have enough extras. I can make more. I'll make another round for it, for across the way there, okay? Amen? All right. Lane, can you turn on that music again, and we're going to go ahead and dismiss and head over to the party. Amen. Any more instructions about the party, or we're just going to roll?
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
Randy and Richard are barbecuing, so we'll take them just a few minutes.
Be standing by for more announcements. There's food and games and things. And kids, come on up. Who wants a smoothie? Absolutely. Thank you, kids. God bless you.